Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for choosing this symposium and organizing this very important symposium here at this meeting. My co-author for today's presentation are Tom Morris and Hein Tao from the University of Connecticut. And we would like to shift our attention to a different way to look at the problem of nitrogen management, effect of rainfall, and other factors from perspective of feedback information, collecting feedback information from farmers. How many of you teach courses at university? Some of you, right? So very soon, in a couple of weeks, you'll be given your students' final examination, right? So whether you like this process or not, final exams are one of the ways to collect feedback information, how your students progress and how your teaching system work in specific situation. The same way is for nitrogen management. We recommend farmers group in Iowa and on the East Coast to go through so-called annual nitrogen checkup. You can compare this with annual medical checkup. So by using similar, very relatively simple tools, we can gauge how the nitrogen management performed in specific situation. But one of the important part of this data, this feedback information from farmers, we can try to identify differences between timing, forms, and method application, or we can use different analytical tools and estimate when, where, and at what risk a specific rate of practice perform. To do this annual nitrogen checkup, we recommend to use relatively simple tools like aerial imagery here, which gives us a good snapshot in the end of the season in space. Stock test, it's a technology neutral tool. It doesn't require a lot of technology. It gives the nitrogen status, whether the corn had enough nitrogen or not. Also, we suggest farmers to use relatively simple on-farm replicated trials. Could be 2, 3, 4 rates, which focus on specific range of interest for farmers. And finally, by collecting this data, we develop a decision system which allows to quantify the risk of deficiency and excessive nitrogen status or make prediction in an intelligent way for new and observed situations. If you know Iowa and what John mentioned in previous presentation, Iowa, it's a big state, a lot of variability and differences. But one is the critical part that in Iowa we have different practices. We have different timing application forms, method. And last year, as a part of the project funded by NRCS, we look at these practices from different perspective. This is the data set. It's a data set of 3,500 of fields. We survey across Iowa from 2006 through 2013, where we use the imagery and the stock test and the street trial. Some of these fields were targeted in targeted watershed like this in Iowa. So the question was, can we rank these fields in some kind of way? And one of the ways to rank these fields in using so-called benchmarking idea. We know that in Iowa we have a liquid nitrogen apply in spring, anhydrous, we have anhydrous ammonia apply in spring, we have anhydrous ammonia apply in fall or liquid soy manure. So can we rank these practices in some intuitive way? In one of the way we rank these practices, these are distribution of rates used by farmers which produce field level optimal nitrogen status. So these are distribution of nitrogen rates used by farmers which produce field level optimal nitrogen status. So you can see the differences between different practices. This is corn after corn, this is corn after corn after soybean. You can see the differences between both previous crop, and also what's striking here that practices with full application require slightly higher nitrogen rates. The important part here is variability in manure is much larger. You can see these boxes are much wider, which again, it's a good indication how complex is nitrogen management in Iowa is. But what is missing here, it's effect of rainfall. We want to be more predictive what's the specific effect of rainfall on nitrogen management or risk to be deficient or excess. So combining this data, we utilize specific analysis which allows us to estimate the risk to be deficient versus sufficient, or excessive versus sufficient below. And we look at the variety of management, variety of factors or covariates, like management, rate, previous crop, rainfall, management, all kind of interaction in year. In this specific analysis, we utilize so-called mixed effect binomial model, a logistic regression. And in this regression, we had the intercept variable, or random and slope were the same. So this is the technical way to estimate this risk, to be deficient or in excess. So what we found, when we look at the problem of what's the risk to be deficient, in all kind of combination, four factors had the most significant effect. It's a June rainfall, nitrogen rate, previous crop, and management, which is combination of timing and nitrogen form. So if you look at this effect, if considered all other factors being the same, each additional unit of June rainfall in Iowa, across Iowa, would increase the risk to be deficient by 8%. If you increase nitrogen rate, the risk goes down. So this is the quantitative way to quantify this risk, considering all these factors in one place. By doing this, we can try to do a type of what-if analysis. What if, what specific effect of rainfall? So if you look at the range of rainfall, and this is in international units, here is the somehow optimal or normal rainfall in June. If you look at these curves, these are not truly lined, they are curves. What's interesting and striking that if you fix a rotation, which is corn of the soybean, with about 150 pounds nitrogen per acre, we see that practices which had anhydrous ammonia used had the lowest risk to be deficient across all of these factors. So this is the effect of rainfall when we fixed previous crop and nitrogen rate. We can do more analysis or more plotting and look at the effect of previous crop. For example, in this case, we have an extremely wet June, which is almost twice as much, 8 inches of rainfall. We have an effect of rate, nitrogen rate used by farmer. We have different practices. We have a near optimal range, what John showed before from the calculator. And what is striking here again, in when an extremely wet June, the risk of nitrogen deficiency for corn of the soybean is almost twice as much as for corn of the corn, which is kind of interesting looking at this data. Of course, we can plot this data a different way, but the question is how we can help farmers and agronomists use this information to make some kind of decision. So one of the ways to use this data is to develop so-called risk matrix. Many of you probably use a mortgage calculator. In mortgage calculator, you would put your interest and estimate principal and interest over time. So that's the same idea. We can put different conditions for June, dry, normal, very dry, extremely wet. You farmers can put different rates for different practices. And then we can look at this probability to be or risk to be deficient across Iowa. So you can see the differences between these practices. What is striking here that what's again the complexity of this nitrogen system, that very often in this near optimal range, this probability doesn't change much. So again, the effect of rates very often in near optimal range is overwhelmed by rainfall and management practices. But of course, if you go below optimal range like here, 100 pounds of nitrogen for silage application, these numbers goes up. So again, that's one of the tools which can be used by agronomists and farmers. For the risk of being excess, of course, excess is also a problem. We don't want to have applied too much nitrogen or have too much nitrogen released from the soil. So if you look at the problem or risk of being in excess for this data across the state, Iowa, we saw the four same factors had significant effect. Instead of June rainfall, we had the rainfall from April to June, nitrogen rate, management practices, and rotation. The question is, why early spring rainfall in both cases? We know from water monitoring that about 60-70% of nitrate losses in Iowa occur in spring or early spring or in June. So again, this is one of the indication how important is rainfall in factoring this risk. But another way we can look at this data, it's a variability. Variability is also affect our decision. And this is an example of risk of being in excess. So we know from doing this type of analysis, I know we have some kind of typical field. If its random effect is zero, it's going to consider it as a typical field in Iowa, whether it exists or not. So the blue line, it's a prediction for the risk of being excess for a typical field. But what happens if we have a field which has a lower than average variability, maybe twice as less? So we can do stochastic simulation. We can use modern techniques in statistics and economics. We can do stochastic simulation like millions of times the simulation and see that if we have a field which has a lower than average variability, the risk of being excess slightly changes. Not much, maybe a couple points. But what happens if we have a field which is variable as twice as typical field in Iowa? So what's happening? This is the typical field, and if you do the stochastic simulation for the risk to be in excess, the field which has a twice as much variability will definitely, this distribution will change. So instead of normal curve, we have this extremely skewed stuff, which again, which demonstrate that variability both in stock test and imagery can have effect on this risk and finally on a decision how farmer can read this information. Of course, you probably noticed I talked too much about these probabilities, so how can we use them? How about weather forecasting? We're always accustomed to think about weather as a risk, right, as a probability. So in the same way, we can develop a categorical measure of these probabilities. If it's less than 50, probably low, very low. If it's higher than 50, 60%, moderate, high, and very high. We can also use different colors, and of course, we can use different signs, like here. One of the missing pieces here that although the imagery and the stock test is important, we somehow have to connect both of these to the yield response. So the way we can connect and can be done online, we know that from some previous studies that when the stock test is deficient, we have about 60-70% of chance to have an economic yield response, a profitable yield response for extra 56 kilogram per hectare. So we can make the adjustment for those probabilities by plugging these probabilities in those which I showed you before. And this is data published in Agronomy Journal. It's a combination of 125 trials, which kind of show the differences between these practices in Iowa. And again, we can use this yield response or likelihood of yield response and connect to those probabilities I showed you before. Of course, again, farmers also do on-farm trials. The importance of these trials that we are not trying to estimate the economical optimal rate, but we are trying to get a sense how close a farmer rate is to economical optimal. And this is an example of a relatively simple trial, just two rates, can be three. But what we focus here both on the spatial data and the field level data. And the importance of this is that by using spatial data, we can get some sense of variability, what's really happening in the space. To do this, we utilize a variety of tools. Some of these tools, like hierarchical model or Bayesian analysis. So the whole idea is to look at these random effects or random variabilities at different scale. And the Bayesian analysis, which is becoming very, very popular in economics and statistics, it's one of the part of decision theory. It's one of the intuitive and scientific way to make decision given the farmer's data. So here's the example of using this type of analysis from yield response trial perspective across Iowa. And again, we use this Bayesian analysis. Given the data, given what we observe, we can make intelligent prediction of probability of yield loss from reducing nitrogen application, for example, by 30%. So in this specific case, those trials, the objective was what's the risk of reducing nitrogen application, normal nitrogen application, by 50 pounds across Iowa. And again, using this type of analysis and data from farmer, we can develop these probabilities for different categories. It can be previous crop, it can be timing application, can be organic matter, rainfall, and so on. So if these probabilities are less than 50%, which is blue color, it would indicate that it's very likely that farmer can reduce nitrogen rate with the lowest risk of nitrogen loss. So again, this is example how we can utilize the yield response and data from farmers and apply these modern decision tools and make prediction for new unobserved situation. Because very often we collect data, we know the procedure, we know the methodology, we can claim these two categories are different, but the question is real for farmer, what would happen given this data in new situation? And that's what this analysis does. So again, this type of analysis, I believe, will have a lot of application in the future in agronomy. As I just came from the symposium about big data, and big data, that's going to be a very important tool or aspect, how we make decisions from data coming from farmers. So finally, again, we would like to stress that in addition to typical way to look at the nitrogen response and nitrogen problem, we stress that feedback information from farmer is very important. It's like your medical checkup. We suggest farmer to go this checkup every year, depending on tool. And of course, late season checkup is probably the most sensitive because it's a way, especially in Iowa, when we see these all problems within field, across field, and so on. Another importance of this checkup, that nitrogen checkup, that it's getting farmers involved. We wanted them to collect this data and think about that. Think, discuss, live in this data. And of course, they have different perspective than we scientists too. So having this two-way interaction is very helpful. And again, what I showed you, I tried to show you two examples when we can collect this feedback data and estimate of risk to be deficient or excess across Iowa, and have some sense what's the differences between timing and nitrogen form. And also we can use yield response trials where we can focus on specific grades and management and see what's the risk of being having reduced nitrogen application or excessive nitrogen application. And finally, this type of risk system based on farmers' data can be used in a lot of type of what-if analysis. We can do a lot of simulation given the real data happening in this specific rainfall condition, timing, forms, and management. It also can be used in manure and nutrient management or for our management, which stresses the importance of timing, forms, and best management. And finally, this type of probabilities or risk assessment can be utilized in crop system models like AdaptN and other, which industry right now adopt to utilize data from farmers and make intelligent decision and help them make decision what rate, what timing, what forms, or what to expect after the fact or before. So that's my story. And again, we focus on this feedback information, this annual nitrogen checkup. Thank you for your attention.